Comedian, actor, television writer, author, and musician Paul Reiser is one of Hollywood's most prolific creatives, voted by Comedy Central as one of the top 100 comedians of all time. He performs sold-out stand-ups at venues nationwide and will be at the Mahaley Performing Arts Center in Great Barrington, Massachusetts on July 25th. Perhaps best known for Mad About You, the long-running Emmy, Peabody, and Golden Globe-winning comedy, he is also known for such shows as Stranger Things and Chuck Lorre's The Kominsky Method. Paul Reiser, again, will be at the Mahaley on July 25th, but he is here with us this morning, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Paul Reiser back to the roundtable. Thanks so much for being with us.
I'm well. Nice to be with you. You know, I'm reminded when I hear you say it that Mahaley is just fun to say. Not every theater has such pep, such cuteness. Mahaley.
Yes.
It could be Native American. It could just be a child making stuff up.
It's fun to say. Absolutely.
Mahaley. Yeah, it's exactly what you say when you slide down a playground slide. And that's why I'm going back. I was there a few years ago, and I just so wanted to say the word Mahaley again. Then I said, you know what? I got to come back.
Yeah. Brings you joy. And
exactly.
Off you go. It's wonderful to talk to you again. When it comes to, as I mentioned in the introduction, I mean, you're doing a lot of different projects, and then you go back on the road. So you always have that, right? You always have that. You get to go and do what you have done from the beginning of your career.
Yeah. You know, when I started, my only goal was to be a comedian and to do stand up and, you know, get on the Tonight Show maybe and just be on the road. And so when acting jobs came along, I never, ever felt like an out of work actor, because to me, those were always like bonuses. I was like, am I done with this? Okay, now I can go back and do my comedy. And so things have changed in that I've certainly done so much more in the last, 10-20 years, so much more acting than stand-up. But in my mind, there are always diversions, and then I get back to doing what I love. And on a minute-to-minute basis, this is the fun stuff. There's nothing, doing a show, writing, none of it is as fun as getting up for an hour and a half and seeing actual people in their seats laughing. It's interactive. Everything else, you're in a vacuum. You go, boy, I hope this is funny when they air it in 11 months. Stand up, they're right there, and you're having fun together. So nothing beats it.
Is it still this basically the same process for you? You're known now. People know what to expect, I think, when they come to
sure.
see you. So
is
that different when you are creating material and have a mind as to what you're going to talk about on any given night?
There's a comfort level on both our parts, on the audience part and my part. When the audiences come in, I never take for granted what an effort that is. Like, you bought a ticket, you spent hard-earned dollars, you drove, you parked, you made arrangements for the kids, whatever. You came to a show. And so I already like these people. The minute they sit down, I go, I like them. And they only came because they must have seen something of mine that they enjoyed. And a guy came, I did a show, I forgot where it was, a couple of weeks ago, and I was signing stuff after the show, and a guy, I signed a book for him, and he was looking to say something, and he goes, can I say something, and I mean this only as a compliment. I'm going, it already sounds troublesome if you got to put a handle on it and a disclaimer. He said, no, you just did an hour and a half, I find you so comforting. I went, that's a terrific compliment. That is, I said, comfort, and I think it's a lot of why audiences come to live shows, or certainly to my show. It's like, you know who I am at this point. I know who you people are, and we're likely going through a lot of the same stuff, where there's a similar age, although a lot of my audience lately has been younger and younger, thanks to Stranger Things and The Boys and all these shows that I have nothing to do with other than I show up and I join the cast. But, I tell people it's like getting together with old friends. Like, we can talk about things that we both know we're going through. And it is comforting for me, too.
Well, I think it's also comforting in that, again, I will
Say this, but yeah, be careful. I'm very, very fragile.
the disclaimer on it. But there also with that comfort comes, you know, there's going to be some great lines, and yet you don't have to worry about too much of an edge. You don't have to worry about being offended necessarily.
Yeah,
And
I'm not a fan. I don't like offending people, and I feel terrible even in life if I said something like, "Ooh, I didn't. I hope that
yeah.
guy didn't take it the wrong way." So that's no sport in it. I'm not. You know, there are guys who are great and comics who are great at pushing the envelope and you know talking about things that require a lot of care and caution. And that's never been my thing. So you know, it's nothing to do with the changed environment. It's just that's never really been my. I'm actually not smart enough to make anything up. So I'm just going to tell you what's happening in my life. Here's what happened in my house yesterday. And people laugh because they go, okay, poor guy, sounds like my house. And then we get to laugh together about the same stuff.
When you think about that, so that goes back to when you started on stage. I mean, you were talking about basically the same things of what it was like to get up that day and what you went through.
Yeah, you know, I mean, yeah, there's more to it than that, but
Of
I'm not
course.
walking them through my daily calendar. But yeah, but that's what we do, right? Comics is like something strikes you funny, and then you write it down, and then you try and work it into a presentable piece of material, and then you try it. You know, you do it on stage, and you get a laugh. Sometimes you get a laugh in places you didn't anticipate. You go, oh, I guess that's the funny part. And then other times you go, huh, that was really funny to me. It's not funny to them, or I haven't sharpened this enough to work yet. But that's the fun of it also, is that it's really never ending. You know, I don't think you ever feel like you got a joke nailed perfectly. You're constantly working on massaging it. You notice I'm looking myself here on Zoom. I never noticed from a certain angle I look like John McEnroe. I don't play like him, but as a certain angle, I go, I look like Johnny Mac,
You know,
which is, you
you see the
right?
resemblance.
Yeah, it's not terrible.
No, not at all. Don't worry, I'll explain it to the radio audience.
Yeah.
It's
Yeah, you have to try, you have to take our word for it, folks. Oh wait, you know, as long as it's radio, let me redo that. You know, I never noticed how much I look like Brad Pitt.
There
It's
you go.
a
Absolutely.
striking likeness, it really is.
When you take on projects, I mean, obviously, I came to, well, I knew you when you started out and we're on Carson and we're on all the late night shows and then of course Mad About You. And I have a fondness and a love for that program because it came out the year that my wife and I were married and you know, it just seemed like we were going through that together and it was just a lovely thing. And not long ago you came back and did some episodes, new episodes of that show. What was that like to revisit, to go back to that well?
It was great fun. It was interesting. We had Helen Hunt and I had always been on the same page that we and committed to never ever trying to be talked into doing a reunion or a reboot. And you know, only because we loved the show, we loved doing it, and we were very satisfied. We ended it when we wanted to, the way we wanted to, and we wrapped everything up. We actually deliberately wrote a finale that showed the future. So there's no need to ever come back. We'll tell you what happens right now. And cut to 20 years later, and so many shows were doing reboots that we were approached, and we said, well, we got to at least, you know, and they kept asking us, would you do it? We said, oh, let's at least talk about it. And then when we talked about it, we said, well, A, it'll be really fun to play together because we just had a great time working together and playing together. But then we came up with, well, what, but why? Why would we do it? We don't need to do it. And, you know, neither of us wanted to in any way soil the image, you know, or mess it up. And then we thought, well, wait a second, it's 20 years. So we ended the show with a little, you know, an infant. 20 years later, that kid's going off to college and we're alone again. That's where the show started, you know, initially. Like the marriage stuff is all over, the ceremonies are all over, the hoopla is over, and now it's life. And we thought that's going to be really interesting. And more so because it's 20 years later. So we weren't trying to recreate and say, look, it's 1993 and we're still 31 years old. No, we're not. We're older, we're tired, or we don't hear as well, we walk slower. Our little darling infant daughter turned out to be quite the handful. None of our plans worked out as we thought. I said, that's great stuff to write about. And so that was the fun. We said, well, just do it once. We did 12, I think. So it was great to explore you saw this couple when they were newly married. Let's see what life has beaten the hell out of
Yeah.
and how do you sustain a loving relationship that long, with that many body blows and wear and tear on the marriage. And that was the fun of it.
One of the
Yeah.
things that struck me about that show was that I realized just how much I didn't, you're so invested in these people, you don't want anything to happen to them. You want them to be together. You want that relationship to be strong and loving.
Yeah. And that was sort of our mission statement. It was like not that it was an ad for marriage, but it's like for those of you, those of us who have, taken this path, here's the only thing I know to be true. It's like it's a lot of work. And by the way, it may be comforting to find out that even this cute, adorable couple, it slugs it out, and it's, that old saying of it's you just got it's getting off the canvas and getting up to fight another round. That's the victory. It's like, yeah, okay. It sometimes it can be very easy to go, you know what, this is too hard. Let's just walk away. It's like, yeah, but that's why take the easy route, because there's great fruit to be mined, if that whatever the appropriate word is, in sticking it out and seeing where the relationship grows. That's why the theme song was called The Final Frontier, because we said sometimes the gap between two people sitting up in bed, that can be the hugest distance imaginable. It's like, yeah, it's a foot away, but there's a world of mess between these two. And how you navigate those two with good intentions and with love, that's the trick. And that's the comedy too. You look at these two people and hopefully the audience had the comfort of knowing, oh, well, they're not going to break up. They're going to work it through. When Helen and I first met, we hadn't even shot the pilot yet. And I had sent her the script and we talked about shows that we'd want to do. And we always said we have to do a couple of episodes about where they almost break up, where one of them has an affair or almost has an affair. And we said, well, we can't do that in the beginning because then nobody's going to believe it and nobody's going to care. We don't like this couple yet. But also, like, well, they're not going to cancel. They're not going to have a show if they break up. And so we waited, and it was at the end of the fourth year, and we found a reason that they were trying to have a baby, and it was not going well. So each of them felt bad. My character felt like less of a man; she felt like less of a woman. And we'd like so there was a lot of vulnerability. We said, okay, that's when the devil would raise its head. That's when they would both be tempted. But we knew that they're going to work it out. We want to dramatically make you really feel the risk. It's like, yeah, they might not make it, but then they do. So that was always at the heart of the show. It was like, you got to show the work and people did respond to the littlest things. We had a lot of big, silly concepts and big guest stars and lots of comedy,
Right.
but it was always the smaller things that people remembered that were really, to me, the success of the show.
You mentioned The Boys and Stranger Things and shows where you come in and you do your thing. But you had, I mean, you were hands-on almost every aspect of Mad About You.
Yeah, that was, I was approached back in whatever 90 by a studio. They said, we'd like you to try and develop a show for yourself, which a lot of comics had that opportunity. And let's find a comedian. They already have their persona. They already have their thing. Let's see if we can make it into a show. But it's not always easy. And at the time, I was newly married, and my stand-up was kind of growing because I was really mining that material. Like, oh, it's really funny stuff and true stuff. It's a lot more interesting to talk about the minutiae that goes on between two people than it is to say, California is different than New York. It's like, yeah, who cares? So, and I was clear. I said, if I was going to do a show, which I wasn't 100% sure I wanted to, but it would be small. They're really about the small things. And I said, well, go write that. And that became Mad About You. So yeah, So we had great writers, we had great showrunners, but I was always involved. And more over the years, Helen was equally involved, and her input was always so sharp and smart. And then by the time we came back a few years ago to do this sort of revisit, it was really, a terrific partnership and collaboration.
And it's just always great to see Richard Kind.
Yeah, he's never not funny. Yeah. Well, that was the other thing, he said, what was it like coming back? Helen and I have been in touch, all the time, and we would always get together, and I would see the other cast members, but we'd never gotten together as a group. And then here we were 20 years later, and we did a table read, and it was like, oh, this feels pretty easy and natural. And then we got on the set. We had recreated the set verbatim, that is to scale, and with a lot of the same furniture and stuff. And we were all marveling at, like, this feels like we've been away for a weekend. This doesn't feel like it's been 20 years. It was just like, like, oh yeah, the doorbell rings, you cross to the door, you go in the kitchen. It's like, oh my God, we have walked these floors so many times. It was, like going to your childhood home without the trauma, though.
So you are out on the road, you're going to be doing Mehewi, and then do you have any other projects lined up as far as film or TV?
Yeah, I'm working on the new show that I just joined, which I can't say because they haven't announced it yet, but maybe it's Netflix. And then I'm writing a pilot with my son and Adam Goldberg, who created the Goldbergs. We sold a show for to Fox that we're going to. It's really fun. It's about a father and son, and a son reluctantly having to work with his father. I'm like, well, maybe my son should write this with me, and he's quite really funny and quite talented. And so we've just begun that, but it promises to be really fun and challenging. Because the one thing I said, hey, listen, whatever happens in our life is fair game. You can use it, and no feelings will be hurt. We'll exaggerate, because for me, that's been my experience. That's always the best stuff. If you take a gamble and say, I'm going to share this thing that happened in my house, it might be too personal. And more often than not, it's like, no, it's actually universal. Everybody has a kid like that. Everybody has a spouse like that. Go for it.
Paul Reiser will be at the Mehewi Performing Arts Center in Great Barrington, Massachusetts on Friday, July 25th at 8 p.m. You can find out more information by going to mehewi.org, Mahaiwe, mehewi.org. It's as much fun to spell as it is to say.
Yeah, and by the way, one of the conditions of entry, when you buy the ticket and you walk in, you have to scream the word Mahewi as loudly and as rambunctiously as you can.
Absolutely. Part of the fun.
Part of the fun.
Paul Reiser, it's always a delight to speak to you. I wish you all the luck in the world. Have a great time in town, and thanks so
Thank
much
you.
for being with us.
Thank you. Great to talk to you.
Great.
Take care.
Thank you. Again, Paul Reiser will be at the Mehewi Performing Arts Center on July 25th. That's a Friday at 8 p.m. You can find out more information by going to mehewi.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.